You got a team, here's a word of the wise. You want to dominate your league? Go to Football Guys.
Football, I'm living in a fantasy. Football, got everybody mad at me. Football, cause every game I had to win. Football, I gotta be a champion.
Well, we've done OTA winners. Now let's talk about OTA losers. And Bloom, are the Las Vegas Raiders going to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo before it even gets started?
It's possible. It's something we have to be aware of. And yes, Brian Hoyer, by the way, you don't have to look that up. That's who the backup quarterback is. Brian Hoyer, the things that will survive the apocalypse, cockroaches, and Brian Hoyer will be a backup quarterback somewhere with somebody from the New England coaching tree. This is bad. And I think that it certainly gives you pause if you're looking at Devontae Adams, if you're looking at Josh Jacobs. I think that even Jacoby Myers, you have to look at these players and this offense as one with a potentially catastrophic collapse. They do have a defense that has a few marquee players, Max Crosby, most notably, that can keep them in some games. And Cease, you know, from watching AFC West football your whole life, basically, that no matter how bad the Raiders are, you never know what's going to happen in AFC West matchups. But yeah, we're looking at this team probably picking in the top five. And even if Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback for them this year in week one, how long will that last?
Yeah, how long will Devontae Adams be there? And the Garoppolo thing has me thinking about Aiden O'Connell, who I love.
Right, right.
Who some in the scouting community said he was the best quarterback in this class. I do not agree with that whatsoever. But he's certainly a sleeper quarterback to keep an eye on, and I don't think he's ready to jump in. I'm not sure if Devontae Adams stays with the team
right
before the trade deadline. And this Jimmy G stuff, sorry, Joe, I almost said something else. But I'm like, you guys didn't know about the foot?
Right.
Check out the foot. Like, they signed him, and then he had foot surgery. And then they're like, wait a second, what? Like, okay.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, Cease. I think a couple of things that emerge here. One obvious one, and I'm sorry for Raiders fans, once proud franchise, but this is how bad organizations stay bad, right? The John Gruden move basically set them back, even though there was a blink moment of potential respectability. The Devontae Adams trade, probably going to be undone before there's really any fruit from that tree. And you just have to wonder, Josh McDaniels, Cease, like we said, we know how this story is going to end with Josh McDaniels. It doesn't sound like he's learned a lot or changed from his first stint. Also, it's interesting, too, that Jimmy Garoppolo has basically been able to dictate in a way that usually only players of the highest stature can dictate their fate, right? He dictated staying with San Francisco, and he somehow was able to get signed with the Raiders, even though he was damaged goods. So I think some of this speaks to quarterback thirst. I think some of this speaks to weird loyalties, like possibly between McDaniels and Garoppolo, but mostly just speaks to Raiders fans. You're going to be in misery. But hey, the Las Vegas Golden Knights looking pretty good in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, if you say so, Bloom. Does the Tom Brady move have anything to do with this? Because, you know, people love tinfoil hats, and they're like, Tom Brady's there, and he won't let his buddy get cut.
Well, Cease, your knee-jerk reaction here is no, come on. But
right.
if you would have said, hey, Stephen Ross is trying to puppet master things to get Sean Payton and Tom Brady in Miami, people would have said that's tinfoil hat stuff. But the Dolphins didn't have a first-round pick this year, so obviously it was not tinfoil hat stuff. So I think when it comes to Tom Brady, or on that same subject of people dictating their fate, right? Skewing or altering the course of reality to their ends. Tom Brady seems like somebody who would do that. So we can't count out that possibility.
Okay, we're moving on from Las Vegas. And usually an OTA loser is such a harsh title, Bloom.
Yeah.
Sorry for making you click on it.
Right.
But when there's a winner, there's someone else that is on the other side of that. So all this Jahmyr Gibbs stuff in Detroit, which is fantastic, by the way, like they're moving him around and he's on an offensive weapon and he's going to play a million snaps or whatever. It's like, well, and David Montgomery's hurt. Well, that's bad news for him because Gibbs is getting all the hype. Now it's June. Can't believe it's June, Bloom. A lot of things can change. But if we're sitting here kind of assessing things, we're going, huh, in Detroit, it's a lot of Jahmyr Gibbs love, not much for David Montgomery.
And I think that just to go back to your original point about if there's a winner, there needs to be a loser. I think when we're talking about Detroit's offense, that doesn't necessarily need to be true. because as the pie gets bigger, you can even have a smaller slice of the pie, but get to eat more pie. That's what we want. Fantasy football. Yummy pie.
Nice.
So as long as Jahmyr Gibbs unlocks that speed slash running back wide receiver slash player, the space player, then that can create more scoring opportunities for David Montgomery. We just want David Montgomery to be Jamal Williams, right? If he's Jamal Williams, I've been doing the MFL 10 of death, the 10th edition X, and I was able to get David Montgomery in the 7th round. I don't know exactly what Jamal Williams was worth last year, but it was more than a 7th round pick. I know that. So Jamal Williams, David Montgomery, that role is just finishing drives for this very prolific offense that could become even more prolific with Jahmyr Gibbs and with Jameson Williams after 6 games. But you should know the name Mo Ibrahim. That is a player who put up some big time numbers at Minnesota, up there with guys like Lawrence Mooney. What's up, Woodrow? And I think that this is a plug and play offense for that power back, that no nonsense between the tackles back, which Jahmyr Gibbs will never be. Okay. Jahmyr Gibbs, you're just not using him correctly if that's what you're doing with Jahmyr Gibbs. All right. I know Austin Eckler started scoring touchdowns, but you get it. So let's keep an eye on Mo Ibrahim. Let's keep an eye on whoever is behind David Montgomery, because again, this is a slam dunk layup fantasy football role.
And I feel that Detroit will be monitoring the running backs to get cut.
Yeah.
So also watch that. And there's still some veteran backs out there. We're waiting at the time of this recording for Dalvin Cook's situation to be resolved. Yep. And we'll continue on. Bloom, let's talk about Romeo Doubs. And what we'll all be watching and what we should be watching and listening for the drumbeats are the reports about a Luke Musgrave at Packers camp connecting with Jordan Love. Romeo Doubs catching everything, connecting with Jordan Love. We're not hearing much about Christian Watson. So again, there's good for Romeo Doubs and just kind of silence for Christian Watson. I don't know if they would call that bad or loser, but like, okay, that's interesting.
Christian Watson for a little bit, a few weeks, was one of the sensations of fantasy football 2023, got off to a slow start. Like you said, Romeo Doubs, we can reflect on how Doubs was billed as more pro-ready than Watson coming from a small school. And then Doubs also was ahead of Watson because he was hurt. And then Watson showed that size, speed, playmaking ability that made the Packers give up 2 second-round picks to take him. But then when we step back and look at this year's Packers offense, Cease, I don't know, tight end, is it Kraft or is it Musgrave? We know Musgrave might have better traits, tools, but how many times have we seen a team double up at tight end and the second tight end ends up being the one that we want? More times probably than the first tight end, because it hasn't happened that often. Wide receiver, oh boy, Jaden Reed, anyone as a potential slot receiver extraordinaire or the more reliable receiver? Don't forget, they took Dontavian Wicks. Dontavian Wicks 2 years ago, the 2021 version of Dontavian Wicks is probably a second or a third round pick, a playmaker, an explosive player. And then we have the ultimate variable here is Jordan Love. Who's he going to favor? How efficient is he going to be? You know, this is another offense that has the potential to be catastrophically bad if Jordan Love, if all that time in the incubator didn't really work to make him at least adequate or competent. So we have a lot of things to watch. See, so the only player that I think we can count on in this offense is Aaron Jones. And that's just because we know he can contribute in the passing game. And if the passing game is limited, if the passing game is not clicking, that's almost better for Aaron Jones' fantasy stats. Probably make him miserable. I mean, I'm rooting for Aaron Jones, the UTEP two-step. But this is an offense with more questions than answers. And unlike the Detroit pie that's growing, and what's Green Bay? It's like a hostess hand pie, maybe. You maybe can split it with your friend. It's not even like a whole dessert. And it's mainly going to just rot on the shelf.
Remember the McDonald's pies? And they were like nuclear hot in the middle.
Yeah.
So the cookies. Like eat the edges.
Why do they ever stop making the McDonaldland cookies? Those were actually good.
Nothing for you is good at McDonald's, allegedly, or whatever I have to say. Yeah. So I don't get sued. But like, I could use a pie.
Yeah, those were all right.
Could use some cookies, right? Be all right. Let me finish. Anyway, what's the Patriots going to do with Mike Gesicki? You wrote about him for our newswire at footballguys.com, Bloom, and it's like, okay, we're monitoring the situation, but I have no idea how it's going to look because, well, what's his role even going to be with Hunter Henry there absorbing all the snaps?
Right, right. And Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Yes. So this is the question. I suppose we should be moderately, mildly optimistic for growth in the Patriots offense because they have an actual offensive coordinator in Bill O'Brien. It's not Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. I don't know how much growth. I mean, if you move from one of the worst offenses or least efficient offenses, and I know you can pull out numbers that maybe say they weren't one of the worst or least efficient offenses. It's not an offense that's going to create overachievers, except for maybe Ramondre Stevenson. Although his ADP is up at a point where it's going to be hard for him to overachieve it if this offense is stuck in neutral, is in a ditch on the side of the road. And yes, they get Mike Gesicki. Yes, they get Juju Smith-Schuster. But let's remember, 2 years ago, Bill Belichick came out of the gate in free agency. Pew, 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 pew. Johnny Smith, pew, pew, pew. Right? Mm-hmm. Delson Aguilar, pew, pew, pew. What is they're, you know, Hunter Henry's left. Hunter Henry hasn't exactly been a smashing success, but because he wasn't a miserable failure, he looks like a success. So maybe Bill O'Brien will have a better idea of what to do with Juju Smith-Schuster and what to do with Mike Gesicki, but they directly overlap. And like you said, there's still Hunter Henry, who is a viable receiver, a competent receiver, either detached from the formation or out of tight end. What was the problem with Mike Gesicki in Miami? He can't block. Why would you even ask him to block? I think that New England is still going to be a run first team. Like, this is a team that's going to have a defense that's going to keep games low scoring. Of course, their special teams is going to be that X factor for them. This is like old Herm Edwards football, right? If the drive ends in a kick, it was a good drive. If it's right. A punt or a field goal, it's a good drive. We did what we were supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. So again, you're looking for overachievers here. It's already a problem because this is not an inspiring offense. But then on top of that, Tyquan Thornton, I have no idea. On top of that, this is going to be, by its nature, a conservative team. Low-scoring games, street fight kind of games are the games that they can win. So Mike Gesicki, at the very least, unlike last year, he's paid appropriately. I don't know what his salary is, $3, $4 million. Not very much. But can they find an appropriate role for him? Because he's, even as a slot receiver, he's not that physical, right? He's not somebody who's going to be winning at the catch point. He's not somebody who's going to do much after the catch. He's one of those cars that looks good in the showroom, and then as soon as you get out on the road, junker.
Oh, I could run down a list of cars like that, but again, no.
Potential sponsors.
Every lost McDonald's. Potential sponsor. I know. McDonald's is done. They're pissed off at us. Ronald McDonald will not return our phone calls. That's fine. He'll be all right. But you mentioned, by the way, Tyquan Thornton showing out in practice, which is interesting because he's so one-dimensional, but they're using him in different ways. Keep an eye on that. That's a good thing. But you mentioned run-heavy team with a tight end that can't block. That leads me into Greg Dulcich.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say some stuff, Bloom. Uh-oh. And I hope it doesn't get me in trouble because... And that's the thing, and I hate to play this card. I really do. Y'all know me. Y'all know that I'm going to tell you the real, and not all of my observations are going to be 100% accurate, but they're going to be my observations. This is what's going on in Denver. With Sean Payton and his Orwellian media policy, I can't say shut your mouth, okay? And I know YouTube just demonetized this because I said shut your mouth, and that sounds like another word. And anyway, Dulcich is the Joker, right? So last Tuesday, I was like, I don't even know if they like him. And then he goes out on Thursday, had a really good day of practice. They were working third downs. Now, I'm telling you this because Sean Payton talked about it. And I can talk about what Sean Payton talked about. I can't talk about anything else. I can tell you off air, Bloom, but I can't tell you anything else. Listen, he was working as the Joker. And Alvin Kamara was a Joker. And Reggie Bush was a Joker. And Darren Sproles was a Joker. And so all the surface level... people were like, this means Greg Dulcich is going to be the Broncos' number one receiver, and he is super athletic and super talented. Yeah, no kidding. And God, I wish I could cuss about this. Like, it's so easy to see Greg Dulcich's physical abilities fast. He's got soft hands. He's built like a media member. I don't want to be cruel, but we're not talking about Albert Okwuegbunam. If Albert Okwuegbunam had that day, I'd be like, oh, oh God, look out. Like, look out, everybody. And oh, Alberto needs a little love. You got to love him up, right? And I think they figured that out last year with Jerry Rosberg. I'm moving on, Bloom. But okay. With the Greg Dulcich thing, I want to caution everybody about the Joker in shot. Because, oh my God, the Joker, he's the Joker. Well, guess who else was the Joker in New Orleans? Ty Montgomery. Adam Trautman, who's here in Denver now, by the way. And good what's blocker. Adam Trautman's career high in catches? Like 21, 25 catches? So, again, and I don't want to be rude, and I've had several people reach out to me, good people, right? In the fantasy community, good people. And he's analytically Greg Dulcich is, and I have nothing against analytics.
First three
whatsoever.
Games of his career, the only right. other, yeah,
right, right.
But offense was he in? How was that offense doing? What were right. the other options in that offense?
But in Sean Payton's offense, and then he's got a better. He can't block on a run heavy team, and he can't stay healthy. Okay, it's June. I get it. All right. If this is happening in August, and everyone will be there, and we can talk about it, because. Well, fans will be there, and they can't keep fans from saying stuff as much as Sean Payton would love it. If this is happening in August, then it's a conversation. But to say it now and to project it now, one, it's way premature. Two, it's basic. Like, we already knew Greg Dulcich was athletic and had soft hands. He's done nothing new other than, in Sean Payton's words, quote, Bloom, quote, we are beginning to see a vision for him, close quote. That's a flipping quote. So a week ago when I was like, I don't know if they even like him because of what Sean Payton was like, basically ignoring Greg Dulcich in practice and in media comments. To last week, he had a good day on third downs in his Joker role, but he's not the only Joker. He's not the only Joker on this team, everybody. So like, is he talented? Yes, we can see it. Is the offense going to be better? Yes, we can see it. They're going to run the hell out of the ball, and he still can't block, and the pads aren't on. There are so many incompletes yet with Greg Dulcich. I can nod my head with you in agreement and say, yes, he's talented. Yes, he's fast. Yes, he's got soft hands. But I have to see more before we start declaring Greg Dulcich as any sort of sleeper.
Yeah, I think that you laid out the case very well, that what this gives us is something to monitor. And if you're a good fantasy football player, your something to monitor list is everything, basically. We monitor some things closer than others. We certainly monitor some things closer than others when the offense is in transition, because it means there's a much larger range of possibilities, both good and bad, for players, the roles they have, the nature of those roles, the size of those roles, and most importantly, what production comes from having those roles. So in this offense, this is kind of like what we were talking about with Green Bay. How are we going to sort out the four receivers, Mims and Sutton and Judy and Patrick? I don't know. How's Javonte Williams' recovery going? What's the backfield split going to look like between him and Shamaje Perine? I don't know. And then, like you said, Cease, we're going to get training camp, and training camp is going to be a lot more concrete. This is that wet concrete that just got poured. By the time of training camp, you can write your name in it. But still, the games matter. And whatever plans Sean Payton has, whatever his vision is for different players, let's see what happens when we get to the regular season, because preseason barely tells us anything anymore. And it may be one of those situations where this is the plan for a player, but what modes of the offense are working? What other players are stepping up in their roles? What other players are showing that they may deserve more work? This offense is going to be an unknown. We can know what maybe their intent is. We already know, like you said, the players, their strengths, their weaknesses, their traits, their qualities, but this is going to be very fluid. And what we see even in September may not be what we see in October, November, December, depending on how it goes for this team. And Cease, like you have pointed out, you can't even say for sure that Russell Wilson is going to be the quarterback for this team come December. So, yeah, put those hot takes back in the refrigerator if it's about the Broncos.
Just give me those hot pies from McDonald's.
Yeah.
Some ice cream. I hate
to... Go get a Frosty from Wendy's and dip the pie in it.
Yeah. I like the shake from Five Guys. Caramel shake. Wow. That's right. Let me finish. We have to talk about Anthony Richardson not being an OTA loser, Bloom, but I just feel bad for him because you and I love him. Matt Waldman loves him. Mm-hmm. Anytime we say Matt Waldman favorite, it's like antenna. Hey. Hello. But like everybody's hurt. Michael Pittman's hurt. Josh Downs is hurt. Like his tight ends are banged up. I'm like, can the kid get a break? Because he's as raw as the day is long and he needs help. So if there's an OTA loser, it's not him, Bloom. It's just the situation because he's not being able to develop that early chemistry with a Josh Downs, with a Michael Pittman. And that makes me sad.
Yeah, and I think it's another one of those situations where, well, geez, it took acquiring A.J. Brown and a second year with Shane Steichen for Jalen Hurts and the offense to really blossom for the Eagles. So now it's only June. But if we're in training camp and you're still having players slower to ramp up, this is for install. This is for getting everybody familiar with the new concepts and the new offense and those mental reps and all those other things they're doing. It's important, not as important as training camp. Cease, we're going to watch things like who's getting the first team reps at quarterback and so on. And I think what this builds in is an understanding that when we look at the Colts offense as a whole, whether we're talking about Jonathan Taylor, whether we're talking about the receivers, whether we're talking about Jelani Woods, again, what we see in September might not be what we see come November. And the good news for Anthony Richardson is he absolutely is the type that you throw him on the field and let him learn on the job. Let him make mistakes. That's how he's going to learn, not by being in the incubator, not by doing mental reps, not by holding the clipboard and running the scout team. Okay. So I just think with the Colts, good things are coming. Are they coming week one, week nine, week one, 2024? Yet to be seen, but having everyone healthy would be a good step towards getting the early part of that timeline in play instead of the late part.
It is the audible. He's Sigmund Bloom. I'm Cecil Lammy. We love you and appreciate you all. Subscribe to that Football Guys newsletter. It's free every day. Takes written by Sigmund and by myself and by Joe Bryant. Right to your inbox, all the news. You've got a life. We don't. So let us cover the football for you. It's our Football Guys free daily newsletter available at footballguys.com. Check out the Audible, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, however you take in the show. We have bonus audio only episodes in addition to what we do here on YouTube, which means like, comment, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell so that you never miss a vid. He's Sigmund. I'm Cecil. We are the Audible. Until next time, be safe, be kind, know that you're appreciated. Stay tuned, and as always, please stay frosty.
It's a wrap.
And that was the Audible.
We're also available for picnics, lodge meetings, children's parties, and smokers. Ta-da-da-da.
You know what? I have an idea.
Party?
No.
Let's do this.
No.
I like where this is going. Okay. Put it away.